In today's Nutrition and Life episode, I speak with lifestyle transformer and weight loss expert, Dr. Ashley Dwyer. Ashley and I spoke about how she helps women achieve lasting fat loss by mastering their hormone health, non-drug therapies, and ways to no longer be chronically stressed. I'm excited for you to listen to my conversation with Ashley, and please, if you enjoy the show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. Now on to my conversation with Ashley. Hello and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with Dr. Ashley Dwyer, who's helping women to lasting fat loss by mastering their hormone health. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Hi, hello, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Likewise, I'm very, very excited to talk to you about all things health, weight loss, nutrition, fitness, and so on today. To kick us off, I would just love to hear a bit about your own health journey, because I know that that directly flows into why you do what you do today.
I was going to say, how much time do we have? No. I will sum it up very quickly, but my health journey was someone who went into Western medicine. So I'm technically a licensed pharmacist by trade, worked retail pharmacy. So, you know, your Walgreens, your CVS's, your Publix, shout out to East Coast, Southeast. So mine generally started in Western medicine and went through pharmacy school. During pharmacy school, I found my love for like bodybuilding and doing bodybuilding competitions. And you know, you get so small and you watch how the body can be manipulated by food and exercise. And it's just like, for my scientific brain, I was like, this is so cool. Not realizing how unhealthy it actually is, right? So I probably did four shows, or I did do four shows from 22 to 26. Like, I graduated pharmacy school at 25, did my last show at 26, just as like a last hurrah. And found myself in a doctor's office at 27, like completely burnt out, fatigued, like hair shedding like crazy, did a bunch of blood work and found out everything was off. Literally every, there's not one hormone that wasn't, like my fasting glucose was 59. For all of you who know, like I should have been sleeping on the table when I had that blood reading done. Thyroid was crazy. So I was kind of like, I don't get it. I was doing all the healthy things. I looked like the picturesque of health, right? Like had a six pack, you know, all the things, was in pharmacy, like in health, what was I doing wrong? And so it took me 5 years of primary care physicians, endocrinologists, functional medicine doctors, and finally like integrative health coaches, kind of like myself now, to get on a path of realizing like, oh, I did that to myself because of my lifestyle, like chronic under eating, overtraining, no sleep, high stress. My body was just on E and I was like, go harder, you know, like push yourself harder. And so I was still a pharmacist when I finally was like getting through all of this, and we went through the pandemic, and in 2018, I started this company, but like kind of coaching brides. It's weird. Like all my friends were getting married and I was helping all them get ready for their weddings. And I was like, I'm going to specialize in brides. And then obviously my passion and curiosity took over and functional health took over. And so we've morphed into that over the years. And now I've been doing this full time 4 years and absolutely love it. Like I can talk about it all day. So please shut me up during this podcast.
No, I absolutely, I can feel and see your passion, and it's visible with your content as well. And I think it's just so beautiful. One of the things that really stood out to me as well, and which I just want to highlight, is that you're not afraid to reinvent yourself or your mission. And just because like your own passions have shifted as well. I think sometimes as people or entrepreneurs or people that start anything, we're like, okay, this is who I am for the next, I don't know, 50 years. You think you need to be that, but it's not. Like you start, it was a great time for you probably coaching those brides and a great time doing the bodybuilding shows, but you would not be where you are today, but nonetheless, you didn't feel like you needed to stay on that path. And I think that that's just a wonderful reminder for literally anybody out there that we can course correct and adjust. And even if you build a team and you start a company, we can always rearrange and reinvent. I think that's wonderful.
Thank you so much. It's funny, when I was quitting pharmacy, they're like, but all that school. I'm like, what about it? I'm still paying for it forever. It's still up in my brain. Like I shifted careers at 30 and left at 32. So there's no age to like get it all figured out. I'm sure I'll shift again at 40.
Exactly. Exactly. Who knows? But so, okay, talk to us about some of the lifestyle changes you had to make. And also, I guess they're probably similar to some of the lifestyle changes and non-drug therapies that you use now with your clients.
Yeah, so mine specifically was related to like thyroid health. So, you know, we help a lot of women with PCOS and fertility and things like that. So that's a little different, but almost similar. For me personally, I loved being super tiny, right? Like you, my mission before I learned what, you know, you're supposed to know is that I just wanted to be tiny. I wanted to be little and lean, and that was like my goal. And then I got there and it was like exhausting. I could go to bed by 8. I was so tired. It was not a good look. But I was eating probably 1400 calories every single day, like super measuring things out to the point where like I made a post about this yesterday actually. If I was eating fruit before bed, I was like shaming myself that it wasn't protein. Like I had orthorexia, if anyone's familiar. It's like a type of an eating disorder. Exercising 6 to 7 days a week, doing fasted cardio in the morning, then I would eat like some rice cakes and then go do legs. Like please tell me how that's enough fuel. It's not, right? I was doing so many compensatory behaviors of like having to burn off fat and burn, like just making myself like make things up. My relationship with food was terrible. Food noise was crazy. It's funny because people think that like lean people or thin people don't have food noise. And I will tell you, it did not shut off when I was restricting myself so heavily. Like if I had cookies in the cabinet, they would speak to me, Lisa, all day. So I had to rewire all of those thought processes. I had to learn to eat more, which was terrifying for me. And I will say the person who got me to eat more was hiring a coach. And that's why I'm such a big proponent of hiring a coach, because I wouldn't have done that on my own. It's scary. I thought I was going to gain weight. No. So I needed to eat more. That was the biggest thing. And I was cutting out carbs. I needed carbs. Like your thyroid needs carbs. Everything needs carbs. You needed glucose. So I needed to eat more. I needed to scale back from the gym. I didn't need to do 6 or 7 days a week. I needed to do like 3 or 4, and not for 2 hours, but for like 60 minutes, you know? I needed to actually get sleep and care about my sleep. I was like partying back then in my mid-20s in South Florida. What is growing up? So it was a lot. And I needed to learn how to like manage anxiety and stress in a stressful pharmacy environment. So those things sound so simple, but they were major shifts for me at the time.
And they all add up. That's the thing. It's like that, you know, sometimes each one of them sounds very boring, as you said, or like how much of a difference is that going to make, but it all adds up. And I'm so grateful that, or so thankful to hear that you say like the coach was really the person to pull you out of this, because I think often we just stand in our own way. Like even if we technically know what to do and we're like, okay, I know I should be adding carbs, and then we might do that for like a few days and then the scale goes up a tiny bit because I don't know, we retained water or hormones, whatever. And we're like, oh no, I'm gaining weight because of that. I'm reducing the carbs again. And so if you have someone to commit to and they're like, hey, this is gonna be a 6 month journey, you will gain weight, but you know, talk me through it like whenever you feel you want to reduce the calories, tell me about it and we talk it out, and having that sounding board, I think is so important.
Nailed it. No, 100%. And having the just like accountability and the reassurance of like, okay, trust this person, trust this person. I'm not a big trust the process girl. I'm a big understand the process girl. So that they can like tell me the reasons why things are happening, which is what we do for our clients. I'm like, okay, it makes sense. We're just gonna let it play out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so tell us how long it actually took until you felt better, you saw some improvements, because I think often with hormones, that's a thing that's so frustrating. It t can take a really long time if we're talking about like regaining your period or, you know, whatever it might be.
It's crazy. I never lost my period. I mean, I had to get off birth control and do that whole thing, but I still never lost my period. It just wasn't like PMS was bad. It fluctuates with stress, but everything took, I was going to say it, if you're focusing on the wrong things, it's going to take a lot longer, right? So for the first 2 years of my diagnosis, I was focused on just trying to regulate the thyroid meds. Like they had put me on Synthroid and then like look high, like raise the dose, and that still wasn't working. So then we would add like synthetic T3, and then we'd add it in the morning, in the afternoon, and I'd have all these blood tests and all these doctor's appointments only to feel like anxious one day with heart palpitations and like really fatigued, like tired and fatigued the next day. So 2 years of just trying to get thyroid meds corrected was exhausting. And then so that was probably like 29. And then I started seeing functional doctors because I'm like, you know what? Forget this. Like, even though it's not covered by my insurance, let me get someone who's going to do a more holistic approach. And then I would be put on like synthetic hormones like progesterone, and I slept great, but I still, and I actually went into the doctor and was like, I want NP thyroid. As a pharmacist, I'm like, put me on desiccated. Like, I want NP. So they did. I had a really nice doctor who kind of trusted me as well. So that made me feel a lot better. So getting put on the right meds for myself. And then it wasn't until 30 that I was like moving more into coaches to eat more. Cause I was still probably eating like 60. I ate more, right? I was at 1600, 1700 a day, but I needed to be at like 2000, 2100. And that was such a big number for me. So I remember hiring a coach and reversing for the first time and being like terrified. But then I was off of progesterone. Like everything started kind of making, doing a gut health protocol. Cause if you do have thyroid issues, your gut is usually not super great. So we had to do some gut health things. And then it all started like clicking into place. So it was years of just like bouncing, you know?
Yes.
Exhausting and expensive.
Well, and I think mentally that's the sometimes the hardest thing, because we kind of just shift our like obsession with being very meticulous about like calories and training and so on to something else. Then it suddenly becomes the obsession with blood numbers and, oh, I can't go out with my friends at all anymore because I need to be in bed by 9 o'clock. And you know,
Yeah.
like that's a bit dangerous as well.
That's a great point. No, it just shifts the addictive behavior.
Yeah. So, okay. Now in terms of the clients and people that you help, so other women, you mentioned some of them have PCOS, for instance, and some of your content I saw spoke kind of about like how important strength training is, not just for hormone health in particular, but specifically also for PCOS. Talk to us about why.
So I love strength training for everybody, for every woman, right? If you want an easier time in menopause, like strength train, build the muscle mass. But muscle is metabolically expensive tissue, and it's also where glucose is stored. So if we have more muscle, we have better glucose and blood sugar control. And 70% of PCOS patients are insulin resistant. So if we're having issues with blood sugar and we're giving them more outlets to be used and utilize that blood sugar, it's usually a much better way to be metabolically healthy to have more muscle in PCOS patients. And I hear that there's a fear of lifting heavy with some PCOS patients because they have higher androgens, but I have never seen a PCOS client get bulky ever because they're not metabolically healthy enough to grow in a way that the androgens would help, you know? So I just want to clear that up. It's not going to happen.
No, that makes a lot of sense actually. And I like that the explanation in terms of the blood sugar regulation. So what would be some other things if someone with PCOS is listening, what would be, or yeah, we can throw endometriosis maybe in that camp as well. But yeah, what would be some other maybe natural supplements or specific things you do with your PCOS clients?
So we are, I wouldn't say we're rare, but we are different in a way that we are going to exhaust all lifestyle changes first before I add in a ton of supplementation, right? Like I, even as a pharmacist, I truly believe supplementation should be supplemental to an already great lifestyle. So we work on getting up neat counts, so step counts. Like walks are so great for blood sugar, especially 10 minutes after eating, like so great. Walking, getting in activity. We have a rule in our company, like a funny saying, like no naked carbs. So I don't cut carbs from any of my PCOS patients. We do track macros and we do have fiber goals, but we don't eat carbohydrates alone. So we pair them with like a fat source, a protein source, a comprised meal, but we're not doing any naked carbs and we are not skipping meals. We're keeping blood sugar steady throughout the day. So eating every 3 to 4 hours and eating full meals. We're up in protein content. There's a lot that we kind of do, but it honestly, like, this is going to sound funny and you know it, but it's the same thing we would recommend to like another client that doesn't have these issues, but more exemplified. Like we're exaggerated on this. Like this is really going to make a difference for you.
Yeah.
And then if we do need supplementation, we are looking at like the myo-inositol fibers for PCOS. We're looking at that for blood sugar control and better metabolic functions. We're sometimes looking at berberine. A lot of these patients are also deficient in like micronutrients like zinc and magnesium and vitamin D, hormones like vitamin D. So some like, we'll draw blood, but look at all of that. Gut health is another one. Like if we have inflammatory PCOS, we are looking at lipids, we're looking at gut health, we're looking at food intolerances like dairy and gluten. Adrenal PCOS, I'm looking at your stress. Like we need to calm down. So maybe ashwagandha, rhodiola. So there's different things for all of them.
Awesome. Thank you. Super, super helpful and specific. And you mentioned stress there at the end. And I would say probably, you know, at least 60% of the listeners, maybe more, are in a high stress state, or are maybe their cortisol doesn't drop down anymore at the right times and so on. Specifically, I work with a lot of women that say, oh, they wake up at 3, 4 a.m. They have a hard time cutting back on the exercise as well, because it makes them feel good. It's their outlet. It's, you know, whatever, and that kind of thing. And even if we try to increase the food, that's something that they want to do. But in the end, they kind of want to look leaner. They want to expose that muscle. So, you know, you can only be patient for so long. But what would be your advice to that kind of person that's like under chronically high cortisol? And especially also when it comes to the mindset, like how do we embrace those changes?
Yeah, I had to do that especially, and I hated it because I was like, what do you mean? Like when I was in my thick of healing, they took me down to 30-minute workouts twice a week. And I was like, what? Absolutely no. And I did it, and I actually started losing weight and feeling better. So I was like, oh, okay, I was stressing myself out, right? I think it's really caught. You said 60%. I'm going to go ahead and say if your women followers are, it's probably like 80, 85. Like we do way too much. We're forced to be Wonder Woman, right? We're constantly living in like a fight or flight state. So some things that I urge our clients to do, yes, the gym can be therapeutic, but it is not therapy and it is a stressor on the body. So instead of engaging in activities that put us further into a sympathetic state, we need to do more parasympathetic activities, vagal nerve stimulation. So like deep breathing, breath work like that, meditation. I'm not really a meditation girly. I just can't really get into it, but I can do breathing. I can do journaling. I love music and dance, and that kind of takes me into like a flow state. So anything that you're really like creative hobbies help, walking outside in nature with no headphones, no dog, like nothing to distract you, just nature really works, like 20 minutes a day. There's a bunch of little odds and ends, but we definitely need to be taking that time to like just tap back into our bodies and not, what is it, be proactive, not reactive to the day. So if you're set up nice in the morning, nothing kind of surprises you during the day. You're aimed to deal with it. And this is how we kind of mitigate the perceived stress of the day. Like if we can't take out some of the stressors, like you said, under eating, overtraining, you know, we can't tell you to quit your job, even if that's really what's necessary. Or like, I'm going to say this, and if it gets hate, I'm sorry, but leave your partner, you know, like there's a lot that we watch and we're like, oh, this is where your stress is coming from. Okay. We can't do that. Then we're going to have to mitigate in other ways.
Oh, I'm so with you, absolutely. And I think I often find the not analogy, but yeah, if we think that often when we go on vacation, the first day or two are almost like it feels hard to just relax. And I think that's the same thing. Like if most people can relate to that, but they don't understand why all those down regulatory things are helpful in day-to-day life as well. So like imagine you get to that point in your vacation, like day three, day four, where you're like actually able to enjoy it and actually like not necessarily bothered by your phone anymore or not thinking about the work emails anymore. And that's kind of the point that we want to get to with the day-to-day life as well, where, okay, with those regular practices, you're able to shift in and out of the sympathetic, parasympathetic stages so much easier. Because of course, like we both know, cortisol is great and it is due to good to have some stressors in your day-to-day life, but especially if you first need to come down, sometimes we need that complete reset nearly, where, as you're saying, like 2 times 30 minutes per week, and then sort of slowly building up again.
100%. I was going to ask you, it just clicked in my mind. Do you know your Enneagram?
No, not off by heart, actually, unfortunately.
I was just thinking of this, like anyone listening, like I'm a 3, which is like the achiever. So it's like, I'm that person who's like, okay, I want to rest, but how can I rest more productively?
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
I understand completely how hard it is to turn off, but like women really do need to be in like a softer girl era because our hormones are so much more affected by stress than men's hormones are. So we don't need to like cycle sync or do any of that, but we do need to relax a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, even though there's a lot of research that says like it's also about how we perceive stress. So like telling ourselves, "Oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. I have so much on my plate. This is not helping." So of course we can kind of like tell ourselves, "Hey, this it's a privilege that I get to chauffeur my kids around and go to work and be in charge of dinner as well." But yeah, to an extent, sometimes it is also just a matter of cutting things out of your schedule and doing less. Like I was speaking to a client a couple of days ago, and she was like, "Oh, one of my goals really this year is to be just more organized because I always feel like I'm not doing anything properly and everything here." And she's one of the high cortisol clients. And I was like, "Dude, we can become as organized as you want. If there's too much on your plate, it's not going to help minimize the load. You need to cut stuff out." It doesn't, I mean, it might help momentarily or for a little bit, but you need to get rid of stuff. Say no more often. I think that that's really, really underrated.
That one, saying no and having boundaries as a woman, please,
Yeah.
no.
Well, I read such a wonderful quote on your Instagram, and it was sort of along the lines of, if you suffer from hormonal dysregulation, you cannot work out, sleep, eat, have fun like everyone else. And when I read that, I was like, oh my gosh, preach it, honestly, because we just want to be normal, or we think like everyone is doing that, but why can't we do that? Maybe you can explain specifically why we cannot work out, sleep, eat, or even ha have fun like everyone else, and what do you mean by that?
I'm so amazed that you saw that because I feel like nobody, like that post did not do well. And I was like, I
Oh,
need
it
it to do
resonated so much
well.
with me.
It's so funny. Like, you never know what's going on with Instagram. But okay, so disclaimer with that, the things that I say or we're going to talk about doesn't mean you can't do those things for the entirety of your life. Just when we are getting hormones optimized and back into a good place, you have to do things differently than others. And to be honest, if you're comparing yourself to others and the others are not healthy, it's a wonder why they can do that stuff and you can't. You're trying to feel better. You're trying to, be at your best. So we have to change things a little bit. So you can't eat like others because maybe you have to eliminate gluten or dairy, or you have to eat more micronutrients, or you have to track your macros, or eat more protein, or, give up foods that you used to love simply just because your body doesn't love them back. Like, I am very lactose intolerant. I've been lactose intolerant since I was a baby. I used to love pizza. Like, I messed with it for a while. I cannot eat normal pizza and ice cream anymore. Like, I've fully given that up. It's fine. But I can't eat like other people with my thyroid issues. I can't. I don't eat gluten. I don't eat dairy. But it's okay. Like, it's not a problem for me, but I can't do that, right? And then as far as working out, you can't do five CrossFit workouts a day if we're trying to heal, or not a day, but a week. You can't do high intensity workouts all the time, like even four Orange Theory classes a week. Like, you're not going to be able to do things that maybe others can do because of your stress response and how dysregulated your body is at the moment. We got to bring it down. Fun like everyone else. Like, you're not going to be able to slam back cocktails and stay out till 2 to 3 in the morning because your body's going to hate you way more than it hates Stephanie, who doesn't have this issue, So you got to maybe go to bed at midnight and have 2 to 3 drinks instead of 5 or 6, So there's a bunch of things that need to be re-regulated for a little while, and then you can slowly bring back maybe some of your favorite high intensity classes and see how your body responds to them. Once you're in a more regulated, safe place, we can start bringing things back in and seeing how you can keep doing them forever. But if you do have certain diagnoses, it's just simple that you cannot act the same as if someone who doesn't.
And I would actually add to that, you probably cannot act the same as maybe your own self 20 years ago or 15 years, like, because sometimes I hear that, oh, I didn't change that much. Only over the last, 5 years, my body's not as forgiving anymore, or I'm seeing some symptoms. Like, well, okay, our bodies are amazing because they adapt for so long, they do so much for so long, but at some point they're gonna say, nope, no more. I'm rebelling now. You've overloaded me, and when it gets to that point, and it just is how it is. It's all that accumulation from years prior often.
Totally. And I'm like in my head thinking now about how different my body is from 10 years ago. And there's very, like, I want to stress for women aging, because I know that's like a giant thing that women are fearful of. There are many positives, like muscle memory is great as you get older and you work out longer. I can eat more now than I did it. I'm 36, so I can eat more than I did at 26. I'm at like 2,500 calories a day. Like, I can eat more, I can do all that. However, I do need more rest in between my workouts because I don't recover as fast. My life is way more busier now and filled with things than it was back then. Like, I'm sure many moms have that now too, versus when they were in their early 20s. So the stress mitigation needs to be way more pronounced now. I need more sleep now than we did back then. So yes, if you're not changing as you age, then we are doing something wrong. You can't expect what worked in your 20s to work in your 30s and 40s and 50s.
Definitely. And because you mentioned that sometimes you can bring certain of these ex aspects back and so on, I would argue that in some cases where like let's say adrenal fatigue or whatever was quite high, unfortunately some things cannot come back, or at least not without any negative repercussions, or at least very, very minimal. So just by my own ex example or experience, I mean, I've never had like a diagnosed adrenal fatigue, but I was working shift work as a police officer for a few years, and probably sleeping on average like 4 hours for several years while training CrossFit twice a day sometimes, or at least 6 times per week.
You get it. You
Yeah,
get
100%. And even if I did like 2 CrossFit workouts per week, my body would not like it. Like I would look fluffier. I would have to eat a lot more on those days. I would probably not be able to work at all for the rest of the day and just kind of like chill on the couch. And then I could probably tolerate it, but not with my normal lifestyle, or not expecting to just be good with it and start my work day half an hour later or so. I don't think that that's something I could bring back, or in the same sense that my body's just not forgiving anymore when it comes to lack of sleep for a longer period of time. And it really, really rebels about that. So I think that for some people, it's just something you have to accept, and it comes with other benefits, if you make those lifestyle changes.
See, I would want to ask you too, like, do you think it's necessary to do, well, you were doing 2 a week. I was going to say, do you think it's necessary to do 2 CrossFit today? Because I don't
Oh,
think we need
absolutely.
to do that.
A day, not, no, but yeah, even if I was trying to bring two per week back, like six, two per day, definitely not. But even 2 per week, maybe if I didn't do, if I only did yoga for the rest of the week or so, then maybe.
Got it.
Right. But paired with like hypertrophy training and maybe a hike here and there and so on, body, no. So yeah, it's tough.
It's probably not conducive to your goals at the moment
There you
either.
go.
So no
100%.
need to even do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk more about like stress management techniques. What very I guess practical advice do you have for your clients as well? And I mean, you mentioned like just reducing overall training load here and there, but let's say something that's sustainable where you're like a few things incorporated in our day-to-day lives that really make a big difference when it comes to stress.
Yeah, I touched on some of these earlier as far as like dropping into parasympathetic activity, but I would say taking like 3 to 5 minute breaks scattered throughout the day just to like diaphragmatically breathe, like just breathe into your belly, which no one does, to bring down stress response. I would say something that really helps cortisol that I didn't mention earlier is like getting your circadian rhythm back on track. So same sleep and wake times every night, like trying to get on that schedule. And that will actually help sleep, help you feel more energized throughout the day if we're getting a balance there. Again, the standard like journaling, meditation, yoga. There's an app that I use called Insight Timer. I don't know if they have it down there, but it's free. And they have like 5 minute little guided meditations, which is all my spicy brain can handle. Like, I am wandering after that. I admit I'm the worst. And then I have strict boundaries with my cutoff times for work. So something I had to institute was like by 6 p.m., 6:30 at the latest, laptop is closed. Like, we are boundaries for what we allow into our space too. Because especially if you're a coach or you're busy, like your phone is going off nonstop, which is very stressful. So setting hard boundaries, saying no to things, I think those are where women can start. Cause I feel like we don't put ourselves as a priority a lot of the time, especially when we have families. And so just even starting there with making yourself a little bit more of a priority will help decrease stress tremendously.
I love it. Yeah. Keeping it focused on those two things, I think that can get us a long way. Now, so shifting a little bit more into like specific food things, since we're talking about how to support hormones, and with that, obviously, metabolism, liver health, and all of that. Are there specific foods, food groups, quote unquote superfoods? I don't like that term, but you know what I mean by that. That you love seeing in your clients' food logs, and then beyond that as well. You mentioned how important carbs are, when it comes to like macros, what's something we can pay attention to?
So we do, I will say, we do more of like a balanced approach. Like we do track macros as a whole as a company with an emphasis on micros, but we're not giving. Like I'm not always giving them specific foods to eat. Sometimes avoid, obviously, like cruciferous vegetables sometimes for thyroid patients, or making sure they're cooked, or you know, gluten and dairy and things like that. But we want them to be hitting like 25 to 30 grams of fiber a day. So fiber is a big one that we hit. But I like to see, like when we look at food logs, I like to see well-balanced meals. So I want to see a protein, a carb, and a veggie. I don't care what that is. Like eat your favorites. We're not going to be super strict because we need you to adhere to this when you are no longer working with us, right? But I like to see that. I like to see 30 grams of protein per meal. And then I do get joy out of seeing like they also had some chocolate or they also had a fun treat and like they're still sticking to their goals. So it's just that whole balanced approach that is really really good for me. But if we do get labs back and we see like, oh, they're low in, you know, iron or like ferritin is low or something like that, anemic or whatever, we'll try and increase like iron rich foods. We'll try and increase like omega-3s for lipid clients or anyone with inflammation. So we will recommend like salmon and beef and spinach and just depending on the client. But I can't say that I have like a favorite or that.
No, but I love that actually. I mean, the adherence piece is really the biggest thing. It doesn't help if you prescribe, you know, 100 grams of broccoli and 200 grams of spinach and whatever, and the person hates that and they're going to do that for a week. And then they're like, screw you, Ashley. I'm going to go and go back to what I was eating before. So I love that you just have the fiber goal, because fiber, yes, like when we're talking about hormone health, truly, I believe is so, so crucial. Also, just in supporting, our liver. With all the detoxing and stuff that it's doing. And of course, inevitably, most people are going to get more vegetables. And I presume they don't get the fiber in through just a protein bar that says it has 7 grams of fiber. And they're probably going to eat more oats and grains and other grains and nuts and avocado and great vegetables. So
berries. Raspberries are the goat at fiber.
Oh, I love it. Yes, absolutely. Very cool. And so with your clients, do you require them to get bloods taken, or is that kind of something that is just on an as needed basis?
So we have like our onboarding email. We'll ask them to send any blood work they've had in the last 6 months. So if they do have that, we'll take a peek. But we don't require blood work to be done at the beginning. Like, you know, if you've been kind of doing this for a little bit and people come in with symptoms or even established diagnoses, you can be like, I can tell you have this, like just how we're approaching biofeedback. So the blood work helps nail down and identify like where we're at in the moment and see where we need to go. But I can almost guarantee every woman is going to have low vitamin D. Like it's just going to be there. I can guarantee that doctors are not ordering free T3 and like the whole thyroid panels that we need. I can guarantee that women come in with PCOS who have no idea what type of PCOS they have. So we may order lab work to establish what that is, or just by biofeedback, we can tell what that is. So it's helpful. We have it as a service that we can order for clients, but it's not necessary.
Right. Yeah, I think that's Perfect. And most clients are probably happy to hear that, since usually it's a bit of an extra cost for themselves as well. And we can, of course, in an ideal world, we'd get, at least annual, ideally every 6 months, a good complete blood panel and then some hormones as well. But we work with what we can, I guess.
100%.
Awesome. Well, Ashley, to kind of like round this off with, I would just love to hear what you're excited about. And number one, for you personally in this year, as we're recording this is January. It's going to be a few weeks before it's airing, but still, as you're what you're excited about for you personally in this year, and also in terms of the company. And then lastly, just in general, the nutrition and health space, what's exciting for you there?
Oh man.
Some loaded questions.
I know, but we are, so we just did a giant, funny enough, we just did like a giant team redo, I guess you could say, rebrand, reflux, like staff changes, all of this at the end of 2024. So 2025 is just going to be like getting that in motion more, getting new group, not group trainings, but like group coaching programs off, and just being more fine-tuned with this hormonal pivot that we are definitely taking. So for me personally, like I want to go to more events and meet more people and build relationships. It might be company related, but this is what I enjoy, you know?
I hear you.
Yeah, traveling more, moving, there's some relationship stuff that I'm very excited about that might happen this year. So that moving more into a positive direction. And then just for the company, like just getting more fine-tuned and established in the space, getting my podcast back up and rolling eventually, hopefully this year. Like, what is time? And then for the world of nutrition, Lisa, it would just make me happy if we could request misinformation to just be off the apps, because that would make our job so much easier.
Absolutely.
I think we are going to see even more than we are now, a giant influx with GLP-1s. We didn't even touch on that for PCOS or any of that, but we do work with clients going on it, coming off of it. And I think we will see a lot more in the space, but I think we're also going to see a lot more of the negative repercussions of people who've been on it or coming off of it. And we're going to be working with that. So just kind of preparing for, I think it's going to cause some orthorexia. Like it's almost comparative to me to like show eating, because they're eating so little and now they're afraid to eat more. So
Yeah, especially if it's done without guidance, with low protein, with no strength training, all these kind of things. But yeah, no, I can only agree with your wish there to hopefully, it would be great to eradicate misinformation out there, but it is what it is. We do what we can.
what we can, just collecting more of us in the space saying the right thing.
Well, it all sounds like very exciting things. I'm excited for you to, yeah, kind of find your new position with your new company in the space, and just in general for you personally as well with your move to Texas. I hope it's warming up for you soon so you don't need to stay bundled up in, I don't know, 10 degrees or whatever, or snow in any case. But it's been a true pleasure speaking with you. I'm going to make sure to put all your handles and stuff in the show notes. But if people want to go and follow you, what's the best way to do so?
Yeah, honestly, Instagram is the best. It's at dr.dwyer. You can send me a DM. I'm very responsive in my DM. So just send me a question or a chat. I'd love to meet you guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Ashley.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Ashley. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. One more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, life is too short to be in a body you don't feel good in.